Today I'd like to share about a subject of real women and what we mean. I believe the scriptures have a lot to share about women, and it also uses the woman as a type and a symbol of many different beautiful things. Far too many to mention today and to bring in today, but I did want to look a little bit into the subject of just women in itself, specifically what the Bible has to say in certain areas. Not long ago, we were preaching about how we are to be the salt of the earth, and we talked about how the enemy has tried to change the role of women in the world, taking it away from what God intended it to be. So I want to just repeat now what I mentioned before that was posted by Pastor Mark Dexter, and that's that our generation is so busy trying to prove that women can do everything a man can do that women are losing the unique qualities that set us apart. The God-given femininity and unique way our Creator designed us. Women weren't created to do everything a man can do. Women were created to do everything a man can't do. I like that. Then later on, he adds, the lioness does not try to be the lion. She embraces her role as the lioness. She is powerful, strong, nurturing. She does not mistake her meekness for weakness. The world needs more kind, compassionate, humble, faithful, confident, fierce, bold, pure, and tender-hearted women. End of quote. That's a pretty tall standard. But then, you know, I often thought of Proverbs 31 wife. And boy, was that a high standard. I think there's Christian women all over the world still striving to reach that standard that God set. And as much has been said about the Proverbs 31 wife, I want to go on record today as saying that God was not placing overwhelming expectations upon a husband's wife. He was simply prophesying the future bride of Christ after the work of the Holy Spirit was accomplished in her life. Now that's a good statement. He wasn't putting overwhelming pressure and expectations on what a woman should be when she becomes a wife. If not, you know, if all these expectations are on a wife, no, that's not what God had in mind. He wasn't giving us a goal we couldn't reach. He was just showing us what he would do with his church, with his bride, when he was through with her. And then I began to understand just how beautiful it was. And it wasn't until I got into the Passion Translation that it dawned on me for the first time, because I got to the first little part where he puts a title in there before he starts translating the scripture from the Aramaic. And that title is what caught my attention, because it says, the radiant bride. So right there, it took it out of the natural wife to any husband and all the expectations put upon them. But many times, husbands have used this on wives and said, you know, well, you need to be the Proverbs 31 wife. Lord in heaven, can you imagine what you have to live up to? Wouldn't some of these Proverbs 31 wives have loved if Solomon had written Proverbs for husbands just every bit like this and more? It was just like get even time, right? So basically, I was very happy when I got to the Brian Simmons translation of the Bible from the Aramaic, when he begins with a title that's not part of the scriptures. He just entitled it. And I realized right then that, of course, this whole thing wasn't about any husband's wife. It was about his wife. It was God writing what his bride would look like when he was through working on her life and how Jesus looked upon her. And it changed the whole perspective for me. So beginning from verse 10, I will read, and he's talking about this radiant bride. Who could ever find a wife like this one? Well, when he's through with her, nobody, is my answer. She is a woman of strength and mighty in valor. Well, I can see that in my wife already. She is full of wealth and wisdom. The price paid for her was greater than many jewels. Boy, you talk about the price. We could stop right here and just preach on that. But our focus is the wife, not the husband. Listen, her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the rich spoils of victory. What a statement. Just to think that this is what he's writing about all of us as the bride of Christ. All throughout her life, she brings him what is good and not what is bad or evil. She searches out continuously to possess that which is pure and righteous. She delights in the works of her hands. So much of this has already been accomplished in my wife that I can see, and in my life that I can see, and in your life that I can see. She gives out revelation, truth, to feed others. Well, we're seeing that happen already with all of us. And it says here, she is like the trading ship bringing divine supplies from the merchant. Healing, deliverance, comfort, encouragement, all of these things. You see, the more we get into the chapter, the more you're going to see that these qualities are appearing in your own life. And it doesn't matter whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. He's not making a distinguishing gender statement. He is talking about his bride. We're all included. When we've accepted Jesus as our Savior and become part of the church, he begins to develop us. Think of the church as people that are just born again, people that just start. Well, we've got this little girl here. Who could say she's a bride? How could she be a bride? You know, 3 or 4 years older than this, and in some of the Eastern lands, she would be. Poor little girl. It'd be nice to let her grow up, wouldn't it? So when she grows up, she then will have the maturity necessary to become a bride. And so think of it this way. In the church, those that are just born again, how can you consider them a bride? He has a lot of work to do to develop them to the point where they're mature enough. In the Song of Solomon, there came a time for love. There comes a time where God begins to rapture our heart, begins to win our heart, begins to work on our heart, and begins to take us forward in the things of God. Verse 16, she sets her heart upon a nation and takes it as her own, carrying it with her. That speaks of people that have been developed in intercession for themselves, for others, and for the nations of the world, that have the nations of the world on their heart. Many have gone out and become missionaries. She labors there to plant the living vines. She takes the gospel into all areas of the world. Speaking of the bride of Christ, the beautiful bride of Christ that he is going to perfect us into. She wraps herself in strength, in might, and power in all her works. We're taking the gospel with great power into the nations, healing, miracles, deliverance from devils around the world. The bride of Christ is bringing her husband. There's a visitation coming to the earth. We've been enraptured with his love. We've been brought into his love. We've been developing. And everything it says here is true of the bride of Christ. She tastes and experiences a better substance, and her shining light will not be extinguished no matter how dark the night. And we're seeing that. Our light is shining in the midst of a dark world. We're contrasted in that we are alive and full of light, full of understanding, full of wisdom, full of victory that we bring him. We bring him victory after victory after victory over our own lives and in the lives of others through us. God brings victory. Hallelujah for that. Praise the Lord. She stretches her hands out to help the needy, and she lays hold of the wheels of government. That means that God gives us the authority in prayer to change things, even at the highest level of government, when they think they control everything. And when Satan thinks he sits on the throne of the world and controls everything, there's mothers and fathers in prayer, old people bowing a knee before God who have power with God, men and women of God, chosen of God to be made the bride of Christ. She is known by her extravagant generosity to the poor, for she always reaches out her hands to those in need. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. It's about what he is developing in us. He is our husband, you see. He is doing all of this through us, but not to take advantage of us. You see, the most important thing in a marriage isn't what a wife can do for her husband or a husband can do for a wife as far as chores and things. Yes, and going to work and bringing money. Yes, all of that's important on all of our parts. But where did we forget that the most important part in a marriage was love and relationship? Where did we lose sight of the fact that what makes you want to go to work is the relationship of that someone you love? The reason you want to do all the things you have to do around the house and for your children is because of love. Love was the basis for all of this. Now listen what more she does. She is not afraid of tribulation, for all her household is covered in the dual garments of righteousness and grace. When all hell breaks loose in the world around her, she's like a hen that the chicks run under and hide under. Precious is the bride. I know the world does not for one minute appreciate us. They would like us just all wiped off the face of the earth. If they knew that we were the preserving salt of this nation, they wouldn't be so eager to get rid of us. If they knew that for our sake, God hasn't destroyed our country, they would preserve us. If they only knew the power that we had of victory and how we can change things for the better, they wouldn't be so quick to criticize us. They wouldn't be so quick to silence our voice. The bride is loving, sweet, but terrible as an army with banners. She's not afraid of tribulation. All her household are covered in the garments of righteousness and grace. You know, living the moral standards of God in a nation preserves the nation. And a judgmental spirit that's coming from the church is destroying the nation. We need the grace part that it's mentioning here. Righteousness and grace. We've got the righteousness and judgmentalism that came with it. We need to get rid of the judgmentalism and leave the righteousness, the standards that God wants. We need the grace that goes with it. The bride of Christ, the one that's been worked on by the Holy Spirit, the one that's been perfected into His image, will be one who establishes the right norms for a country and tells them what they're doing wrong, but then shows them the grace of the love of God to reach out to them and make it happen for them like He made it happen for us. Her clothing is beautifully knit together, a purple gown of exquisite linen. Her husband is famous and admired by all, sitting as the venerable judges of all the people. That's Jesus. Can't be anything else but Jesus. Can you imagine a spouse to Jesus? Can you imagine the millions of angels that have been around for billions of years, some of them mighty in power, they can come down here and with one look can wipe out a city? And they stand in awe when you are honored at the wedding supper, having come out of the wedding nuptials with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and with God in person, and you are the bride. Imagine that for a moment. When all the angels, speechless, with such great authority and power, just watching you. Wow. Verse 24, even her works of righteousness she does for the benefit of her enemies. Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her, and she laughs with joy over the latter days. She's not going to run with fear. She's going to be so perfected in God's love, so perfected in a relationship with God, that she laughs with joy at the latter end. Doesn't matter what they do with this shell. The rest of me is going to live with Him forever. Her teachings are filled with wisdom and kindness as loving instructions pour from her lips. Well, I heard some of that about my wife this morning, and I could say that about all of us. She watches over the ways of her household and meets every need that they have. Wow. She is the one that looks over all the needs and tries to meet the needs that are in the house of the Lord. She is the perfected one in the church, looking for others to perfect them and to bring them into that perfection. Her sons, verse 28, and daughters arise in one accord to extol her virtues. That happened this morning. And her husband rises to speak of her in glowing terms. Now, take that away from the natural for a moment. Imagine yourself in heaven when God announces husband and wife. Jesus and the bride and the church are there. I declare you, husband and wives, your sons and your daughters all around the world that you've been here perfected in God are in one accord, and they all extol her virtues, and her husband arises to speak of her in glowing terms. There are many valiant and noble ones, but you have ascended above them all. Charm can be misleading, and beauty is vain, and so quickly fades. But this virtuous woman lives in the wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. Stop for a moment. And think of this. The bride of Christ, the one who allowed him to perfect her, the one who worked for him, who battled for him, who went into the reaches of the world for him, who interceded and prayed over this world for him, who brought his norms of righteousness and grace and gospel to this world, will be praised nonstop forever and ever. It says for eternity. Throughout eternity, she will be praised. They're not going to just praise you when the Father announces you, husband and wife. That is when your praise begins. And throughout all eternity, your praise will continue. People will come from all over that you never thought you had anything to do with, and they will praise you. Wow. Verse 31, so go ahead and give her the credit that she is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gates of every city. Praise the Lord. In 1 John 4, 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, and that God sent his Son, his only begotten one, into the world that we might live through him. In verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for us. In Joel 2, verse 16, it says, let the bridegroom go out of his chamber, and the bride from her dressing room. We are in preparation. We're in the dressing room. But the prophet is already announcing that the day will come when God Almighty is going to say, let the bridegroom come out. He's been in hiding up there. And the bride has been hidden down here doing his will. And we've only gotten together. It's like these evangelists like Billy Graham or Carlos Anacona for months at a time are gone and the wife stays home being faithful at home. We've been separated, but in love. And every once in a while, through a moment of ecstasy and encounters with God, we have those moments where we unite again and there's that precious moment that makes everything worthwhile again, and then we're separated. But the day will come when we're together. The day will come when we'll never be separated. Because Joel announces that day. He says, the day will come when the voice will be uttered saying, let the bridegroom come out of his closet. He will no longer be distant from the bride. Let the bride come out of her dressing room. That's the time of our preparation. That's our time on earth where everything that we needed to do and everything the Holy Spirit needed to do to develop us was done in our life. Hallelujah. Let her come out. That means the time has come. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 29, it states, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. Who does the developed church belong to? Who does the church that has been worked on by the Holy Spirit belong to? Who does it say here? Who has the bride? But Jesus. In Revelation 21, John saw the bride adorned for her husband, Jesus, or prepared. Then one of the angels said to John, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. God is developing us all to be those people. We are already espoused to him. We are engaged to him now. The wedding will happen someday in heaven when the Father will do all the ceremony. The ceremony takes place there, and then the wedding supper takes place after that, which is the feast that will go on, I don't know how long. Some people think 3.5 years. Other people say 7 years. That's a big feast, okay? And so it's a big deal. It is a real big deal. But right now, we're just betrothed. Right now, we've just come to the place where he's put us together. We're promised to one another. We've come to a place where he has bound himself to us and we bind ourselves to him. But the day is going to come when everything's going to be over. All the development, all the trials, all the things we had to go through are going to be done. Thank God for that. Amen. And there's going to be that wonderful encounter in heaven for all of us. And it's going to be said, let the Spirit and the bride say, come. The time is going to come like Joel said, let her come out. She's ready. The wedding ceremony is going to start. Let her come. And when God announces that, the entire church that hasn't gone to heaven yet is going to rise in a flash. That's when the rapture will happen. Is going to join the one that's already there, and then the wedding ceremony starts. So the Spirit and the bride say, come. The day is going to come when God Almighty is going to say, come. And that's when you're going to just start going up. Praise the Lord. So by then, you're going to want to be developed, right?
Yes.